Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Now it's time to visit with Dr. Jeffrey Copen, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. Doc, how are you today?
I'm good. I was just outside walking over to my clinic. What a beautiful day.
So at your clinic, what medicine do you practice? What kind of patients do you see, doctor?
Yeah, I'm a general internal medicine physician, John. So I have a practice made up of adults, many of whom I've had the privilege to be their physician, it's hard to believe, since the late 1980s. So we've been together a long time, and I'm a general doctor for adults.
So do people go, wait a minute, how are you the chief medical officer, and you do a lot of media, how do you have time to see patients?
I'm a busy guy, but I have a good gig, John. It's really fun what I get to do. You know, being involved with Northwestern Medicine as a physician leader, we have an amazing hospital up here in Lake Forest that's only getting better. Having my own patients, being involved in what goes on in the hospital, it's like I say, it's just a good gig, very interesting, and I like to believe we're doing a lot of good for our community.
I would imagine, too, as an administrator, it's sort of like the best teachers become deans and eventually principals, maybe superintendents, but then they're out of the classroom. What a shame. I suppose that's true with doctors, too. A good, smart, ambitious doctor might rise through the ranks, but it's too bad if they're not actually still having contact with regular folks, you know?
It's a very good point you make. We actually have a rule at Northwestern that if you are a physician and you're going to get into leadership, you have to continue to be involved in actual patient care, active patient care. So getting into administration, we just don't have any physicians that don't see patients. So those two things we believe really go together.
That is one of the most that's one of the smartest things I've heard in a very long time. And then, if I may follow through with the analogy, the teachers will say that they love the students, but they don't love the parents. What do the physicians not like? You love your patients, but you don't like the ex. What would that be, doctor?
The insurance company.
I knew he was going to say that.
Or I could get started with pharmacy benefit managers. Those are really the bane of our existence.
Why the pharmacy guys?
Well, you know, there's certain medications, like, John, we've spent so much time talking about Ozempic and medications like that, that we know those are very expensive medicines. And the insurance companies and the pharmacy benefit managers that the insurance companies engage with to literally manage who gets medicines, it's like we have to go through one of the rings of hell sometimes for our patients to be able to get them the medications that they need. It's a lot of phone calls. It's a lot of documentation, both for the doctors and our clinical staff. It's not always so easy.
We know what that's like as patients, but I've always thought, but if the doctor calls, who's an administrator with an insurance company to tell you, Dr. Copen, what's right for that patient? You sometimes have to fight with these people?
Oh, yeah. It's you know, none of our listeners should think I don't get, if I call or my nurse calls one of these insurance companies, we don't get the please hold, which goes on interminably.
But you do or don't get that?
We do get it.
We do get it. Wow.
It's the same nonsense. It's just, it's hard. I mean, it's just hard. By the way, I understand why they do this, you know, and I understand why there's hurdles that we have to get over. I get it. I've been doing this for a really long time. I got to believe there's a better way to do this stuff, John. I mean, like, there are times we need to get an MRI, say, on a patient, and the patient really needs it. And we have to go through several layers of approvals in order to get the insurance company to approve the diagnostic study that the patient really needs. It makes it difficult on the patient. It takes a lot of our time to get that done. In the end, we get what we need, but it takes a lot of work.
Do you think that physicians or hospitals sometimes are running the register, and that's what the insurance companies are trying to prevent?
I'd like to believe that doesn't happen. I'm sure it happens in some instances, but if we have a patient that needs to have an MRI, that patient needs to have the MRI. We're not ordering the MRI just to order an MRI. We're not going to put somebody through that.
If
they don't need it. And I understand that these are expensive tests, and the insurance companies don't like to part with their money, which incidentally is really our money or our employer's money. I understand how all that works. But, like I said, I wish we could come up with a more efficient way to do this where the right controls are in place, but mm-hmm. it's just easier to take care of our patients.
I'll tell you this story. I was at the drugstore the other day standing in line and at the pharmacy. The pharmacist who was on the phone with the patient was having that conversation, and then they would tend to me next. But I could hear the person on the phone screaming at the pharmacy attendant. And the person on the phone, the pharmacist, was saying, we don't have that drug in. We will order it, but it won't be here until Monday. This was a Friday. And the person was screaming at them. And they said, I'm sorry, ma'am, but what your doctor's ordered, whatever the deal was, we don't have it. And they said, when will it be in? She said, it should be in by noon. And the person screamed, well, it had better be, and slammed the phone on them. And I felt so I've never seen the pharmacy people yell at us, but I have sure seen us yell at them.
Yeah, it's a strange time, John. I actually think a lot of that kind of behavior is a manifestation of going through the pandemic. Mm-hmm. We've, throughout healthcare, including pharmacies, we've seen a lot of bad behavior by a lot of people. I think a lot of folks, unfortunately, have lost patience. They've forgotten how to be nice. And incidentally, like in anything, when people are nice, our staff will be nice in return. But if people are not nice and they're overly demanding and they say unfortunate things, there's a good chance those type of people are not going to get what they want. It's just human nature.
I got some questions for you from our listeners. Do you have a minute, doctor?
I do.
Dr. Jeffrey Copen from Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. Hey, doctor. What are your thoughts for a senior to start taking baby aspirin every day? We actually talked about this a little bit last week. Here's another person who didn't hear that. What was your response?
Well, it really depends on somebody's medical situation. So, for example, if somebody has vascular disease, like coronary disease, or somebody had a stroke, people like that absolutely should be taking aspirin. The interesting question is, if someone does not have a history of vascular disease, should those individuals be taking aspirin? And that really comes down to a risk-benefit analysis of a person's age and other comorbidities or other diseases that they have. And that's a great conversation to have with your healthcare provider. Should I be taking aspirin or not? Because not everybody, Jen, over a certain age necessarily needs to take an aspirin every day.
What do you say to the people who take a 2, 3, 6 ibuprofen every day? Because, we're stiff when we wake up in the morning, or you're sore in the afternoon, or you want to get a good night. There's a million reasons with our aches and pains, and it works. So do you think we are too dependent on that, or should that not be a concern?
A drug like ibuprofen, when used appropriately and not in excess, is fantastic, right? You twisted your ankle and there's some inflammation, so you take a couple of days worth of ibuprofen and you feel better. That's great. When somebody's taking a medication like ibuprofen every day, multiple times every day, we really need to understand why that person has the need to take it multiple times every day, because drugs like ibuprofen, even though you can buy them over the counter, are not innocuous, John. They do have the potential for serious side effects, most importantly, bleeding, kidney problems, and even liver problems. So my recommendation to anyone who's on a constant diet of ibuprofen or any medication like that, that's something you want to talk to your physician about. Maybe there's another way to deal with the problem where you wouldn't need to run the risk of a side effect from the medication.
One more question for you, doctor. It's from the Washington Post, an article titled, 40% of Gen Z men do not have a primary care provider. At what age should I have a primary care provider? I should see my doctor once a year, say.
So Gen Z are young people. Young people who are healthy do not necessarily need to have a primary care doctor. As a matter of fact, most of them, particularly men, will not, and that's okay. When I saw that article, John, it was like, why is there this like breathless headline?
Yes.
Like, this is new. A 22-year-old man does not need to have a primary care doctor. Just doesn't. I think, though, when people start to get older, and we can have a conversation what that is, are we talking 35, 40, 50, sometime in there, that's a good time to develop a relationship if you're healthy with a primary care physician, just to make sure you don't have something like undiagnosed high blood pressure, there's something in your family history that might be a problem. You want to have that kind of a relationship, and it doesn't mean you necessarily have to see somebody every year when you're that age. It's not until you're older, say over 60, 65, even if you're healthy, it's a good idea then to see a doctor once a year.
Well, I liken them to general contractors. I'm not as old as, I'm not as young as I once was. And as I get older, now I've got a problem with my eye, or I've got a question about this thing. And so I will ask my primary care provider, and then they'll say, you should see this specialist. So that's sort of your portal to general health care. I presume
that's right.
I'm doing it correctly.
Yeah, so that's one of the things certainly we do, and that you know, I'm a general internal medicine physician, so I am very fortunate that I get to act as the primary care doctor for my patients. And when appropriate, I will refer them to a specialist. Most of the time, I can take care of it myself without doing that, but when appropriate, a good consultant is always a good idea.
I'm out of time, Doc. This has been a kind of different conversation, but I thought you were really helpful today, as always. But just that big picture stuff, I think, was helpful, too. Thanks for giving us some of your time.
And, John, one more thing. It's now October 1st. If you have people, if you haven't gotten your flu shot, this is a good month to go get it. We're now getting into the fall. I highly recommend everybody get your flu shot. And if you haven't gotten the new COVID vaccine, go ahead and get that, too.
I'll ask more specifically about that next week. Good to talk to you, doctor.
All right. Take care, John. Everybody be good.